Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
Now let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air, Friday edition from the Southern Bancorp studio. We're glad you're with us. Got a full show today. We're going to be talking a little high school football later in the hour. Patrick McGee going to be talking to us about the New Orleans Saints. We've got Glenn Dyer in the studio with us. So we got lots to do in the next hour, and we're glad you're with us. Opening segment of the show every day, sponsored by Movie Star Restaurant. Now, they're having Friday lunch over there right now. Friday night is a great time to eat at Movie Star. They open at 5 till 8 and get you a ribeye steak dinner, or you can get a seafood dinner, or you can hit the buffet. But people have been going for 25 years, and that's because the food is good.
That's where Kelly's at.
That explains it.
We were trying to figure out where he is today.
That explains it.
That's exactly where he is. He's at Friday night, Friday afternoon lunch, and he'll be back for dinner tonight, by the way.
I'm sure they're really excited about Kelly making two rounds on the buffet is just what a restaurant owner wants.
Oh, that's just at lunch. He still has dinner tonight.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Glenn Dyer's in the studio with us. Glenn, it's always good to see you, man. Between you and Dima, could be nothing we don't know about Southern Miss football with both of you guys here. So thanks for sharing some time with us today.
Yeah, good to be back on, Bob. Good to see you.
Same here. All right, I know you've been out there with Dima every day from 30,000 feet. Your view of where the football program stands as we sit here today.
I like the way it's coming together. I like the way Blake is, has developed this program, and he's starting to set a culture. And that, you know, that's still on an ongoing basis because everybody's so new. Mm-hmm. I guess the one thing that comes to mind as we get into this last, game week, there's still no too deep depth chart. I think this is going to be a situation where there's so many new guys, new coaches, new schemes that, the month of September could be an extended fall camp. I think they're still going to have to figure out who they are and what they can do in the month of September. So I could see these guys playing their best football in the last 6 weeks of the season. And that's kind of my view of it. And, mm-hmm. That's going to be fun to watch it, really develop and see how good these coaches really are at development, realizing who can do what and then implementing what these mm-hmm. kids can do.
I haven't heard it from that angle, but this is a big test for the coaches, isn't it?
It really is. This is constant teaching, and in the midst of it, you're trying to develop a culture that's concrete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You mentioned about the two deep, Glenn, and something that I was talking about on the show yesterday, or I don't know, they all run together, sometime this week. And something about thinking the line of logic saying that perhaps, especially on the group of five level, the two deep, seems like we as journalists so focused on that year in and year out. And now it just seems like with this much turnover on every single group of five team, the two deep doesn't really seem as important anymore. It is important as far as quarterback, maybe center, a couple offensive linemen. But, for example, like the defensive backs, I mean, if one guy's not playing good, they're just going to play the other one.
Yeah, there's not a huge separation in talent, not those superstar guys. Because if they are superstar, 6 months later they're in the SEC, somewhere getting a paycheck. So, there's not a whole lot of separating these guys. Whoever had a hot week may be your guy, and somebody that struggled a little bit may find himself sitting on the bench.
And I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
No, I like it.
It kind of gives you a little something to look for each week. For example, if, Joe, this guy is, performing well, he's going to stay in at the linebacker position, but then, if this dude isn't, put someone else in, and then he may be the starter the next week. I mean, I think that's an interesting – something that we really haven't covered here at Southern Miss before, just because, mm-hmm. like you said, most of the positions – I don't think all of them, but most of the positions are kind of interchangeable as far as who's all in those rooms. So who's performing well at the same time.
I think
time.
That helps develop a young team, too, because now every kid on the team thinks, man, I can get on the field. Yeah. I can play, as opposed, let's just say, if you're playing at Alabama, you pretty much know who's going to start the games. Right. But here, everybody has an opportunity to contribute.
Yeah, and competition is going to be at a premium. That's what you want. No, there's going to be no prima donnas out there. So.
Right. Yeah. All right, quarterback position. What are your thoughts? How severe is this injury? Would you expect to see the young man we all think will be the guy next Saturday afternoon?
I think it's 50-50 at best. I think this injury is probably a little slower to heal than they anticipated. I know he's getting a ton of rehab. The word I got was it's a deep bone bruise. And that thumb is what you hold the football with. Right. That's how you create torque. And if it's not 100% or at least 80%, we can really, rip that ball. You know, it's a waste of time. They should take it slow with him and not get it re-injured for no reason.
So let me ask both of you this, and we'll go around the table here. Do you play him against Alcorn, or do you hold him out to give him more time to heal? And then if you do that, would you then throw him in Auburn as his first start?
I think that if he's not going to play against Alcorn, he's just not going to play against Auburn. I just think – now, that would be what I would do. I don't know, because they're going to think of it differently, because obviously they're going to go into the Auburn game thinking they need to win that game. But strategy would tell you, Glenn, that Liddy or John White should be able to beat Alcorn State.
Yeah.
Even if Hampton's out there, he probably wouldn't beat Auburn. That third game against UConn is so important, so I want him full strength for that game. It would be my logic.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And to that third game against UConn, that is a humongous game.
Right.
You win that, you set yourself up for possibly winning enough to get to a bowl game. You lose that, and things are going to be really hard on you. Yeah, I could see that. The only question that from a coach and maybe a player being a competitor wants to play no matter what.
Right.
And the coach wants to get those guys as many live bullets as possible.
Sure.
You know, does that set him back for the UConn game if he's healthy and ready to go?
It's like, could he go in into the Auburn game and play a half, you know, get some drives, and then if the score gets out of hand, you know, then pull him. You know, I could see something like that. But I just wonder, if he's not going to play against Alcorn, you know, can he be still the first team guy all throughout Auburn week? And then they say, listen, we're still going to throw Liddy out there, whoever it is, and we're going to let you get an extra week. We want you full strength for those two non-con games that are, you know, winnable in the sense where they're not going to be double-digit underdogs. So I don't know. But then again, you're right. I mean, the coaching over there is going to be like, no, we can win that Auburn game, all these things. They're not going to be going in there playing to lose. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you don't want that mindset in your locker room.
One thing that I think has really hindered the team in the last few years, Glenn, has been the lack of a running game.
Oh, huge.
Makes it hard on the quarterback if you can't run the football. Are you optimistic that they're addressing that?
Yeah, I think that was the most important thing Blake went after. You know, as soon as that bowl game was over, in fact, during that presser after the bowl game, he said, you know, the most glaring, you know, problem we have is the inability to run the football. And he seemed to think they were a little too small up front, particularly mm-hmm. in the interior. Said they were just barely able to cover guys up and couldn't move the line of scrimmage. He went and got a bunch of 6'4", 6'5", 320-pound-plus guys. And these guys, you know, once they are able to get five guys, let them play together, let the guards and the tackles and the guards in the center get to know each other, I think they have a chance to run the football. And I think their running back room has also improved from last year.
So, well, that would be crucial to success. Would you agree?
Oh, I mean, it opens up the playbook and takes so much pressure off a quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, if you can get – 4 yards a run.
Gives you the ability to move the chains, get first downs, and you know, control a football game.
Now, Dima's high on the wide receivers.
Yeah, I like that group. I call them the Pocket Rockets. They're all about 5'9", 5'10". Mm-hmm. Guys that are smart, they're going to be running a lot of two-way go routes where they have to decide, depending on leverage, which way to go. So they're going to have to be a little intelligent in that regard. I think they are. Just really gritty guys, and there's some solid speed out there. There's just not a lot of length. And the thing that I worry about in this offense, Blake, they like to take their wide receivers and put them down below the numbers and run a lot of vertical routes, take vertical shots to stretch a defense out. I'm not sure we got the bodies that are made to go get those deep shots and beat cornerbacks on 50-50 balls at being 5'9", 5'10".
Mm-hmm. So the size concerns you a bit.
That'll be interesting to see, because in that last scrimmage we watched, they probably threw 8 50-50 balls on, you know, go routes.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't think they got one of them. No. The only one they got was on the trick play.
Right.
It was off a tip pass, and the guy kind of just caught it.
It was in double coverage,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so it wasn't like he went up. It was tipped by the defender, and it just kind of fell in the guy's hands.
Now plus is we got a bunch of 6 foot, 6'1 corners, which is
sure.
That's great. And mm-hmm. and they've gotten better and better mm-hmm. at man coverage, and they shut those smaller guys out last week.
Last minute of the segment, defense.
I'm liking the way it's coming together. If you had asked me this question after spring, I was highly concerned. They had problems learning the scheme, communicating with each other. It's new guys in a new scheme. I get that. Now they're starting to get get together with Coach Boland and figure out how he wants to run things, you know, tendencies and things of that nature. They know, starting to know their assignments. Guys are in the right gaps. Now, that was key. In the spring, there would be two guys in the same gap and an empty gap next to it. They've been – the last scrimmage, Coach said that they won that scrimmage, and that couldn't – that was not the case in the spring. They gave up some chunk yardage in the spring. Yeah. So I think that group's coming together. They added two linebackers from the junior college ranks. And at this point, those two guys could be your starters at middle linebacker and will linebacker. So that was two big hits right there for them. And I think they've got a little more length on at the defensive end they got in on the campus. So that helps as well. I feel a little better about it.
All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about other teams in the league at Glenn's view about the Sun Belt overall. We think it's going to be like the Wild West that anybody could win. We'll talk about that when we come back. As we head to the break, remind you about Forest Healthcare. They want you to keep up with your favorite team, but always take care of the most important player, that's you. Get an annual physical, eat right, work out, be sure your health is as good as it can be. If you have problems, rely on the experts at Forest Health with expert medical care closer to home. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back. This segment is sponsored by Eagle Tire West out on Highway 98 West. Matt Warner, the guys out there, sell Goodyear and other major brand tires. Full service auto and truck service work as well, including AC work. Locally owned since 1985, Eagle Tire, Eagle Tire West. While we're on that subject, Genesis of Hattiesburg, that's the official auto dealer of our program, and we thank them very much. Genesis sedans and SUVs are all at Mississippi's exclusive Genesis dealership, Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. And very few people do more for Southern Miss Athletics than Matt Grubbs, who owns Genesis of Hattiesburg. And we're very grateful to have a friendship with those wonderful guys out there. As we are, Glenn Dyer from 24/7 Sports and does a phenomenal job covering Southern Miss Athletics. Glenn, let's we got your view of the team, but let's look around the league and let's start in the West. I know you told me you really like Louisiana Tech, and I got to tell you that I do too. I think a lot of noise is going to come out of Louisiana between the Bulldogs and the Raging Cajuns.
Totally agree. I mean, the Raging Cajuns probably have one of the top two quarterbacks in the league in Lunch Winfield. Great coach too. I love their head coach. He does a great job. La Tech returns like 83% of their production from last year, and that's why I went with that. And really solid defense last year. One of the defenses that really stoned us, early mm-hmm. on in the season. So mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of working parts coming back for that group.
Interesting what you said. How does a school like Louisiana Tech maintain so much of its roster? We heard the same thing with Louisiana when we talked to their coach earlier this week, I think. And yet – some schools just get depleted. Now, Southern Miss's situation was a little different, and many times it's obviously when the coach leaves. But that's got to be a big advantage in today's world if you can maintain your roster.
Yeah, it totally is. And, I mean, it's all about culture, and we can directly point back to Coach Oz. You know, their superpower as a baseball program is their culture. Nobody leaves that program. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, culture's huge. And I think, Blake Anderson's putting together a strong one over here at Southern Miss. You know, you're always going to have the guys that, you can't meet that paycheck that the SEC or somebody or the ACC is going to give a guy. And you wish him the best. You know, he did for your program what, he came there to do. But for the large part, those guys that are top-level G5 guys and are going to take lateral moves, you hold on to them.
Well, that's interesting. So you think the culture at Louisiana Tech and Louisiana is very good right now in football?
I know the one at Louisiana is very good. I don't know about La Tech, but it just, if kids don't want to leave, obviously there's something positive going on over there.
And Troy?
Troy's, I'm really liking what their head coach did. When they went and hired that guy initially, I said, ooh, this is not going to work out. Usually guys that aren't from the South and recruit this footprint struggle. He's done a great job so far.
You think they'll be a contender in the West?
Yeah, definitely.
Those three would be your top three picks?
Yeah, they definitely would.
All right, skip over to the East. Who you like there?
I'm liking what ODU's doing. I mean, the guy out there, I think it's Ricky Rain, he's doing a great job over there. I mean, he's been winning since he stepped on campus. And they do a great job of those finding those East Coast kids out there that aren't necessarily going to the ACC and give them a great place to go. JMU has done the same thing as well in that area, picking up those middle-of-the-road East Coast kids. Yeah. So, yeah, I think ODU's the team to beat. And Dima just made an observation earlier that Marshall's going to be right there in the pocket with them.
I think we both like Marshall, don't we, Dima?
Yeah, and one thing about ODU that I really like about them is they get both James Madison and Marshall at home, which that matters. I mean, they're not, you know, last year they went on the road to both those squads. And I think the JMU game is pretty early, which, by the way, guys, I was doing my, you know, season predictions, which I'm not ready to reveal yet on the show. But I was doing my, you know, Sun Belt season predictions. And I had, like, James Madison, like, not – if you look at their schedule, it is actually pretty tough. And it's, you know, they have 63 new players on that roster. And I know that their, you know, coach is good and stuff like that. But I'm not – I guess I'm not as high on James Madison as I was, you know, coming into Sun Belt football media days when I picked them to win the West. But, I mean, the East. So, yeah, but I like Old Dominion. I like Marshall. Watch out for Coastal. You know, that's a team that nobody's really talking about. They returned a lot. They have a good quarterback, good system over there. And they might can make some noise, too. So, that's going to be my top three in the East. Mm-hmm. And then top three in the West is Louisiana Tech.
I wonder what's happened, guys, to Appalachian State. You know, they were really good for a long time. And they just seem to have dropped off a bit, Glenn.
Yeah, perhaps turnover. They just maybe hadn't settled on that guy that gets that program going again in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I think it was Eli Drinkwitz that was over there, and he was absolutely fantastic. It's not a matter of money. They put money into their NIL and their rev share program, so they just be a, you know, a lot of turnover there. It's hard to have any continuity when you're consistently turning.
They've got a good fan base.
Oh, excellent fan base. It's probably the prettiest venue I've ever seen, and I've been to the Big Ten. I've been to the SEC. Beautiful stadium. Looks like God just dropped it right between two mountains.
Yeah, I've heard it is really pretty there, yeah. Now, we don't talk about them often, obviously. This is a Southern Miss show, but do you look for the – I guess we all anticipate that Ole Miss will be very good this fall. Mississippi State continues to be kind of a struggling program, you say, in the SEC?
Yeah, and I think, you know, not to disparage Mississippi State, but I think it comes down to a matter of economics. Ole Miss has found a way to find the money when they needed it. I think Mississippi State's probably going to struggle to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, and financially, and I think they've realized that and started putting the majority of their money into their baseball program. That's where their big investment's going to be, and I get that. They're a national title contender on a, you know, annual basis. Mm-hmm. Football may be middle of the road, you know, here on out.
Mm-hmm. You see it the same way?
Yes, I do. I think this is a big year for their head coach up there, Mississippi State, Jeff Lebby. And I've been on record saying that if Lebby kind of blows it this year, Charles Huff to Mississippi State.
You think so?
I think so.
He'd love to have that job.
I mean, he was already a coach there. Yeah. You know,
well,
he
wouldn't leave another school that quickly, would he?
No, he would care. He would care about that school's feelings.
He's got a history of sticking around.
He likes to lay down roots, Bob.
Well, I'll never forget, you know, when I was watching his AAC Media Day remarks, and that was really the first time I've seen him talk about, you know, Memphis, and he said, "Well, you know, I hope you'll understand that I'm going to be a Power Four coach. It may not be here. It may be here, but it may not be here." I was like,
"Well, the Memphis athletic director must have been thrilled to hear that, right?"
Oh,
Charles speaking in riddles.
Yeah.
Now that it's all said and gone, done, Glenn, what will Charles Huff be remembered for most here? Will it be the semi-success, or will it be how he left the program?
For me, it's just kind of a letdown down the stretch. I'd gotten so excited over those first four games. It's like, my juices are flowing. I'm back. And then it just fell off a cliff. And I'm not sure how much of, you know, the whispers of, you know, being involved with other schools and things of that nature creeps into the locker room. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that creeps into your coaching staff. I mean, they sure did. I mean, I know their quarterback got hurt, but it was the defense fell apart, no run game. It couldn't just be one guy, although Braylon Braxton was a heck of a quarterback. But, yeah, I mean, to me it's like he did as much good as he did bad. It's just kind of a wash at the end of the day.
Yeah, but you think there may have been distractions toward the end of the year?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, you see that the same way?
Yeah, and that was a good question you proposed. Like, what would he be remembered for? Because, you know, he was brought here to turn the tide on the program. And he did that until November, the middle of November, when Texas State came here and just drubbed them. And it was really from then on. You know, it just, they didn't win another game, and just, you know, everything that we were seeing at practice, and, yeah, you know, it just felt off. And you could kind of tell it. Then they went down to South Alabama, who, you know, by all means, they should have just, that shouldn't even have been a game. They were so much more talented, and South Al just killed them, you know. And then they welcomed, they had Troy at home and on senior day to go to the SEC championship game. And what did they score, like 15, 18 points in that game? So, yeah, it was shocking development. And then, obviously, how he left. So, I don't think he's going to be remembered well around here.
Well, that's my opinion. I don't think he is either. I think he's going to be remembered as a guy that left the program high and dry and left this massive mountain for Blake Anderson, you know, to climb. In the last couple of minutes about this, though, I do think, Glenn, that you probably couldn't have a better guy here right now, considering the circumstances, than Blake Anderson.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think it's the right time and the right place for both Southern Miss and Blake. That's the feeling I get. Mm-hmm. I think both sides are going to equally benefit.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, my one concern, though, and I don't guess that decisions will be made on what the fan base thinks, but I my concern is the fans don't have a realistic understanding to the degree that they're going to give him the time that he needs. I know everybody thinks, oh, you can turn it around in a year now. Well, you can turn it around in a year now if you have $40 million to spend.
Yeah, correct.
But if you don't have the money, you can't turn it around in a year. Fair?
Yeah, I mean, the money Southern Miss has, which is not a ton, I'd say they're in the top third of football NIL in the Sun Belt, but this money has been equally distributed amongst a bunch of players. You've got guys getting $15,000, guys getting $25,000. There are no $200,000 men out there gunslingers like, you know, was on the, you know, some of the Marshall kids that came in.
Right. What do you think Braylon Braxton made? Was that ever revealed? Are these NIL deals revealed?
It's just hearsay, but I heard that he was offered $150,000 at Marshall to come back over there. So we matched that and
Came here with him. But we don't know that.
No, that's just hearsay.
All right, you ready for it, though? Ready to kick it off, huh?
Oh, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm ready myself. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little NFL football with Patrick McGee down at the New Orleans Times-Picayune. The Saints did not look too good. It's got me and Deem a little nervous. We'll see what he thinks, and I think Glenn's going to hang around with us. Stay with us, everybody.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Super Talk Eagle Hour on the air. Glenn Dyer still here in the studio with us, and glad to have him here with us today. This segment sponsored by DBAT down on Hardy Street. That's where they go for baseball, softball, all kinds of adult sports training. Great facility, really beautiful inside, state of the art, and we're glad to have them part of our family. Also want to thank our good friends at Mo'Bay Beignet Company for all they do. Be a great weekend. Enjoy some beignets. They're at 2902 Hardy Street. You can check out their Facebook page. Our next guest is the sports editor of the Times-Picayune. He lives in New Orleans. He may know a thing about or two of beignets. You ever had a beignet down there, Patrick McGee?
Yeah, I don't have a massive sweet tooth. And I mean, beignets are good, but that's mainly for the tourists.
Yeah, where would be your number one go-to restaurant in the city of magnificent restaurants?
Oh, wow.
I'm kind of the worst when it comes to this because I just have so many places I like that I can't give you, like, one place. I mean, we have a, you know, a Michelin star restaurant just right up the street from where I live right now, and it's very good. But there's no. I mean, just here recently, Gabrielle's and the Seventh Ward right there. They have a culinary season. It was outstanding. But, I mean, there's just so many good restaurants.
I guess you eat out a lot when you live in New Orleans. I think I would.
No, no? I mean, I'm getting married in May, and we don't have the money to to eat out every night. We don't have that luxury, so we do a lot of eating. Thankfully, Caitlin's a really good cook. So.
Well, good. Well, I'll tell you what, if you want to do it at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, we might carry that thing live right here on the Eagle Hour, Patrick.
We're actually getting, we're having two weddings. We're getting married on the stage at Jazz Fest, and then we're having a big ceremony the next weekend.
Wow.
On Chapatulas.
Well, who's
going
to? Well, okay. Well, I guess we should probably get to football.
Book that remote.
Yeah. All right. Well, the offer's there, Patrick. Just going to throw it out there for you. Just, you know, we all, Dima brought his new beautiful baby in here, and he turned us down as well. We thought that she should have been named Kelly Bob, but in honor of me and Kelly, but he turned us down.
Now, he also wanted to do a live show from the delivery room.
Yeah, I'm all into live shows, Patrick. Just keep that in mind, okay? All right, so the Saints and their last preseason game that we watched and really got annihilated by by the Rams. But you tell us not to worry, huh, Patrick?
Well, I'm not going to say not worry. It's just there's really not much you can learn. I think part of what happened last week is I don't know how many scrimmages they had with the Rams and Cowboys that week, but it was a lot, and they were pretty physical. There's a big fight that broke out. It was just a long week for the Saints on the West Coast, and I think they were just gassed. And, you know, half the team was sitting out. None of the starters took the field. Pretty much, I don't even know if one starter is going to touch the field tonight. So you're going to go into the regular season without any of the starters really having seen significant time throughout the preseason. So you can't really read this team at this point. It's going to be kind of a wait and see with a young quarterback and Tyler Shuck and some of the other pieces they've tried to put in around him. So I think there's reasons to be optimistic, but I think also there's reason to be concerned if the injuries continue to pile up, because the depth hasn't really shown up in the preseason at all.
No doubt. And, you know, I'm certainly not going to get concerned about the Saints for the first few weeks, because we've already documented that their schedule is pretty tough, you know, on the road at the Lions and, you know, to start the season and stuff like that. But, you know, the back half of the middle part of their schedule is pretty favorable. So you'd hope that, you know, most of those injuries would, you know, relax a little bit by that time. But I'm curious what you think of, you know, last time we had you on here, we were talking about the wide receivers and kind of who's going to be that guy other than Olave, you know, that steps up. And, you know, when they got Jordan Tyson from the draft, you know, all the talk on him, you know, getting injured in camp. I'm just curious, what is the status of the playmakers that Chuck is going to have around him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, nobody's seen Achane, Travis Achane, the new running back this preseason, but he's going to be, you know, absolutely crucial. But in terms of receiver, you had Jordan Tyson, who's probably not coming back until October, and he was probably your number two option.
Right.
So, Devon Valet, you know, he was pretty good whenever he was on the field last year. I think right now he probably looked at him outside of Olave as your second best option. But I guess it's kind of like, can there be that third guy that steps up? Maybe it's one of the tight ends, you know, Juwan Johnson, Noah Fant, who's a new addition. But then you have a couple of rookies who've been showed some promise in preseason practice, and Bryce Lance and Barrion Brown. Both of those are later draft picks. So can that third guy step up? I think Olave and Valet are both, you know, really good NFL receivers. And I think that with, you know, everything that Shuck showed he could do last year, as long as those two guys stay healthy at receiver, they're going to be okay. They just can't afford many more injuries, because with Tyson out until probably at least October, they're going to be a little shallow there.
Right.
I think that everybody liked what they saw out of Tyson in practice, but the injury bug has just always been a problem for him, and that's a big concern right now.
Certainly. It feels like to me, I know this is pretty much the case for everybody, but it feels like to me the Saints have to be able to run the football, you know, for their offense to move, just because they're, you know, the receivers are just a question mark right now. What is the status of the offensive line? I mean, is this an offensive line that you feel like has improved from last year, that they can run the football, things like that?
Yeah, I think everybody, you know, the addition of David Edwards, Eric McCoy should be back there at center. I mean, McCoy is really the guy that holds it all together on the offensive line, and he's been MIA because of injuries the last couple of seasons. If McCoy and Edwards are on the field in that starting five, you know, if Banks, Edwards, McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, and Taliese Fuaga all stay together, I think it's going to be a solid offensive line. I think it could potentially be one of, you know, the top, you know, 12, say, offensive lines in the NFL. And that's saying a lot. So I think that's a group that's pretty good. But behind that, you're not really that confident that you have the depth for somebody to step in and just kind of keep going. But that starting five, I think, you know, they've really invested there with draft picks and going out and getting Edwards, McCoy back in the picture. That offensive line has a chance to be quite good.
Patrick, about 3 minutes left in the segment with you. I want to switch gears just a little bit. I think it's fair to say Glenn may want to get involved in this. He's a college guy. There is no more controversial college football coach in America right now than Lane Kiffin. And then, of course, Lane Kiffin makes headlines lately, and he goes and tries to get a guy off the Cleveland Browns to come back and play at LSU. Number one, what is the status of that situation? And two, what do you expect out of LSU this year?
Well, it's a complex situation, obviously. The SEC came down, voted, and LSU abstained from the vote. But if they set up a deal to where if LSU does add players who were on NFL rosters here recently, that they would face very severe penalties. I mean, like, really harsh. I can't really detail it because I don't have top of mind, but those penalties would really prevent this from happening. However, last night we got word that the lawsuit that granted eligibility to Pyburn, a former LSU defensive end, and then these two Ole Miss players, former Ole Miss players that LSU is trying to add, they updated that lawsuit to include SEC and NCAA in it. SEC and Commissioner Greg Sankey. So they're going after the conference to challenge them to say, hey, that these rules that y'all just came up with or this harsh penalty you just came up with, you know, is illegal or whatever or shouldn't apply. I mean, our guys have written stories, you know, speaking to attorneys to trying to figure out, you know, what comes of this. But right now the court system just seems as screwed up as anything on this. It's really an ugly situation and not a great reflection that the courts – you know, are deciding who plays a football game or not. That's not what they should be doing. I mean, it's just ugly. The NCAA has no control over this whatsoever. It's just a hot mess.
Yeah.
In terms of what to expect out of LSU, I think they're, you know, going to be a talented football team. But talent, you know, unless a team really kind of comes together and works well on the field together, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on the roster, how many good players you have, it's just not going to, you know, potentially work out. So, again, it's, you know, they have the talent. Levitt's a good quarterback at Arizona State. I've heard people say that maybe he's not within the SEC. He's just kind of another guy. We shall see. If Levitt is as good as he can be, this is a team that can get to the playoff. If Levitt's just another guy, maybe it's 8 or 9 win team, you know. So, but, I mean, to me, Kiffin shows kind of a lack of confidence in his own roster if he feels like he has to go out to get these guys who are undrafted free agents going into the NFL. If he's that lacking in confidence of his own roster, what does that say?
That's interesting.
These aren't guys who are first-team All-Americans. Oh. So it's frustrating as the fan in me and kind of the editor in me is that it's just chaos, and this chaos is not fun to deal with.
Interesting, Patrick. Well, man, I appreciate your input. Now that football is here, we're going to be relying on you to – keep us up to date on New Orleans as much as you possibly can. That good?
Yep, sounds good.
All right, Patrick. Thank you, man. Patrick McGee. What do you think about that, Glenn? I think he's right. It's time for the courts to get out of college football.
Yeah, and it's almost like the NCAA is even almost pushing for the Congress to they're the only ones that probably at this point that can do something at this point. Yeah. And you really didn't want it to have to come to that.
Right. The NCAA seems feckless, doesn't it?
Yeah, paper tiger.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting comments about LSU, though. Chaos is how the editor of the Times
it seems to follow Lane Kiffin.
Describes Lane Kiffin's year. Chaos. Interesting. All right, hey, as we head to the break, MCS Home Center reminds you, if you've got a project around the house this weekend, you need supplies, materials, whatever you need, they've got it. MCS Home Center, they're at 7329 Highway 98 West. Hattiesburg's new improvement home center, local folks eager to help you. Great friends of ours, we're there 1 week from today. with the Super Talk Eagle Hour at MCS Home Center. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, everybody, welcome back. This segment sponsored by our good friends at Jewel Masters, where they buy gold and silver, where they're open and they make beautiful jewelry. And they sell everything from diamonds to gemstones. And, of course, their expertise is gold and silver. So if you've got some of that laying around the house, be sure you take it to Jewel Masters. And if you're getting ready for that next tailgate, the first tailgate a week from tomorrow, well, don't forget about the Diggy's Barbecue. That's what they specialize in. They can tailgate you from 5 to 500 people. They can cater any size event. They do a great job. Diggy's, great place to keep in mind as football season is here right on us. All right, Dima, I'm going to let you introduce our next guest.
Yeah, high school football starts all across the state of Mississippi. It actually started last night for public schools, private schools the week before. A new podcast here in Mississippi called the Pick It Clean Podcast, broadcast by the TSJW Network. We have the host. I'm a co-host. That's why I want to promote this show. No, I'm just kidding. No, we love this. Is Trellis Williams, TSJW Network. Me and Trellis go back a long time. Trellis, so much. Thanks so much for coming on today and talking some high school ball.
100% honored to be on the show. Excited.
Yeah, awesome. All right, we got, you know, so many area games tonight that are big, and kind of walk us through the two biggest ones around here. Oak Grove Starkville tonight, right behind us. We're looking at Oak Grove's field right now, but also Hattiesburg Petal. Two big area games here in Hattiesburg. Kind of break down those two matchups real quick.
Okay, so Oak Grove Starkville, obviously a big one. You know, last year we saw 57-54 as the final score up in Starkville. So, you know, I think that one will be good again. Both quarterbacks returning with Kingston Johnson from Starkville, Kellen Hall from Oak Grove. So I expect the offense to, again, be showcased nicely there at Oak Grove. And so I'm excited about this matchup. I do have Oak Grove winning. And the reason why is because I really think Oak Grove is a top three team in the state this year. And I think with the home field advantage, I think they'll edge them out. I got 41-35 Oak Grove, but I think Starkville's going to give a pretty good game there because, man, Starkville, they've got an explosive offense as well.
Hattiesburg Petal, always a huge game. What do you see happening over there in Hattiesburg tonight?
Now, Dima, we've talked about this one before. Hattiesburg Petal, man, look, I'm really sold on Petal winning this game because I think Hattiesburg's got some stuff to figure out. Their offense losing some key pieces from last year. I do think Hattiesburg will figure it out as the year goes along, but I don't think they're going to be ready to take on Petal at this moment in time. They are hosting the game, but I really have Petal coming in there and dominating because I think Petal's going to rebound from last year with Coach Boyle. I think he's a great coach, and I think he'll have them ready for this year. And so I actually have Petal 34-7. I think Petal dominates Hattiesburg, I got to say. I just think Petal will be ready to go.
Some local news, I guess, over the offseason was Tony Vance, former head coach at Hattiesburg for years and years. He took the job at 7A Meridian, right? And Meridian has been in the dumps for years and years and just, you know, man, last night, Trellis, walk us through. They go down to Ocean Springs, destroy them. Destroy Ocean Springs. 47-9. Tony Vance's Meridian team. I mean, I called you in the middle of the night just because I couldn't believe the score. I had to make sure it was right.
I could not believe it when I found that score. So 47-9. Look, I mean, Dima, we were talking about it on our show yesterday, you know, because I was just thinking, okay, I think Meridian's going to be better because with Coach Tony Vance, obviously he proved himself there at Hattiesburg with some big, you know, big winning seasons, finished off with 13-1 season in 2024. So So I knew that he would turn it around. I say I knew he would turn it around. I felt very strongly he would turn it around. But I must say, did not see that coming at all, especially against that strong of an Ocean Springs team. I mean, you know, they might be losing some guys from last year, and we'll see how their season goes. Man, that's a tough start to the year.
Right.
But just super impressive, 47-9. I actually saw the defensive coordinator at a restaurant the other day, and he was saying, "Hey, look, we're going to shock some people." And I was thinking, okay, I didn't really think it would be to that level. 47-9 against Ocean Springs on the road, first game.
Yeah,
I mean, unbelievable. I think Meridian's obviously good this year.
Yeah, there's tons of other high school games all over the state tonight, Bob, and sounds like we might have Trellis on talk about it, you know, in the coming weeks. Great guy. You know, Trellis, real quick, we're almost out of time, but just plug your stuff, plug your show, man.
Absolutely. So, you know, we do the Picnic Clean podcast. We bring it to you Mondays and Thursdays. We primarily stream to YouTube, and then we also have it up on our Facebook page, Picnic Clean Podcast. And so, you know, we discuss high school sports. Right now we're obviously in football season, so we're very heavy on football. We also talk a little junior college and touch just a slight bit on college, but we're mostly a high school football show. Myself, Trellis Williams, and Dima Mixon, we bring that to you twice a week, so we'd love to have you join us on the podcast.
All right, Trellis, we sure appreciate you, man, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Absolutely. Thank y'all.
All right, Trellis Williams, everybody. Glenn Dyer, I want to thank you for coming in the studio, man. I always really enjoy you coming on the show. I think you have great insight. You do a great job covering Southern Miss Athletics, and I'm grateful for your time today.
My pleasure, Bob. I had a great time as usual.
All right, we'll be back Monday. It's going to be a big week next week. Football season is here. It's really hard to believe.
Kelnack.
And Kelnack will be here next week as well.
He's already on his way. I saw him on the horizon. He's close.
You can smell hump already.
Yes, I smell hump.
Southern Miss to the top. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.